You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Truck Nation, get into a Chevy now. The truck that always has your back. Receive up to $12,000 off on select 2018 trucks right now at Lakewood Chev. But Sneed, of course, 30 years as CFL official. Now, what's your new role? What's your new title?
Actually, I got a new title this year. I am now called an officiating trainer.
Ooh.
Yeah. We've essentially...
But you still evaluate all the games.
Yeah, I do exactly what I did last year, but I am the kinder, gentler bud.
Oh, really?
Yes. We've been... So in the past, my job was to point out mistakes, not good results, good decisions. I pointed out the mistakes. And we've now been directed to be much more supportive, pointing out to guys when they have done something exceptionally good. I mean, we're not talking vanilla stuff. We're talking about guys going beyond, above and beyond the call, so to speak. You know, wading in to help on interesting situations, that sort of thing. And then, of course, I'm still pointing out the mistakes. But you know, if you want to get somebody's attention, you praise them a little bit.
Well, 100%.
And then you beat them up.
I don't care who you are. If somebody they ever do is complain, I'll be like, yeah, I might listen to your opinion when I actually hear you say that something's good. Otherwise, it's like white noise after a while.
Exactly.
I'll become. So
it's like a coach that all he does is scream at you.
Yeah. People eventually just tune him out. There's no question about that.
Exactly.
So, I guess I want to start first, you know, Edmonton and Winnipeg, longest game in CFL history, and not for the right reasons, unfortunately, all due to weather. Now, how close was the CFL to delaying this game? And what's the rules there, bud? Would they say, okay, you know what? This is too long. Now it's player safety. The guys have they've cooled down. We don't want to have to restart the game again. Would they have just played it the next evening? Would it have been at noon? Do you know what's the regulations on that?
So it's interesting. Our protocols are there. They're in our operations manual, but they are not very specific. So, for example, there is no what time is the game going to be restarted in the protocol. It's a very complicated process. And yes, the league was very close. I know the Players Association was involved in calls as well. But it's interesting. One of the things that I learned on Thursday was that head coaches in the CFL are so full-time busy coaching their ball club that they don't have time to be reading all of the other books that are floating around, for example, the operations manuals. So so Jason Maas just lost it because he felt that there was some safety issues occurring right before his eyes.
Yeah, he talked about on the broadcast that he saw the lightning and he was like, hey, why aren't we canceling the game? Now, we said, what if the Eskimos would have scored a touchdown? He's probably not complaining as much. But so what's the word in there? What's the regulations on when you pause the game?
Okay, so it's up to the game day supervisor. The league has retained a meteorological consulting firm out of Winnipeg, actually, who have connections in all of the CFL cities. And their job is to monitor the weather on a pregame and then live in-game basis to advise the league whether or not there are lightning strikes in the area. And the guide is anything within 17 kilometers, 10 miles of the stadium, is brought to the attention of the league. The meteorologist will contact the command center, and they're now aware of what's going on. The command center then advises the game day supervisor to fully inform himself by speaking directly with the meteorologist. In this case, Ken Lazarek, who's the supervisor in Winnipeg, makes a call to the meteorologist, finds that there's been a significant strike in downtown Winnipeg. It's within the 17-kilometer halo, and they discuss the tracking of that weather front and where... it is expected that most activity is going to occur. As it turns out, and we've seen this previously, that front actually was tracking right over top of the stadium. So the decision was made that they would watch it carefully, and eventually they stopped the game first time round. Once the game is stopped, there is another protocol that comes into play. The two team presidents, the game supervisor and the meteorologist, then get on a conference call. And they decide during that conference call how long the game is going to be stopped, and then what is going to happen after that. It was on Thursday night, it was decided that the game would be halted for 30 minutes. There was follow-up. They touch base every 15 minutes. It was decided that they would extend that further because of lightning in the area, and then eventually the green light, so to speak, was given. Then another front came through. And it wasn't that was necessarily a surprise to the meteorologist, because he's tracking basically all the way down to the U.S. border. But again, they had to clear the field. It's interesting, in preparing for the program today, I did a little reading, and the U.S. National Lightning Safety Institute recommends that individuals employ what they call the FB method of protecting yourself. It's something that we all learn from our parents, the flash bang system, where you see the lightning flash, you count the seconds, divide by three, and if it's within 10 miles, you are at risk. Lightning can easily travel 10 miles and take you out. I am aware of a situation in the city of Edmonton where there was a major storm pretty much over your studios here, and it killed a woman on Victoria Golf Course. So that's a long ways away for lightning to travel. So you are at some risk. Mm-hmm. So Thursday night, they clear the field. The players are told they're going to be in there for a minimum of 30. Then they're told, okay, it's going to be 45 minutes. They're stretching. They're getting their uniform off, having a little snack, and then get out. Obviously have to have an opportunity to warm up again. When it was stopped the second time, that's when greater concerns came to play. You know, player safety, how late is this going to be? What are we going to do? And there's, you know, all kinds of considerations, primarily from the visiting club perspective. Talking with Dwayne Mandrusiak, the trainer today, he had to make special arrangements with the Blue Bomber Football Club so that he and his staff could spend the night at the ballpark to clean the uniforms of the players and have them ready if they were going to be playing there the next day. And he said, we've made arrangements. We were going to be sleeping at the stadium and making sure everything was ready for the next day. But you've got to think about team travel. You know, are they flying regular air, or are they, have they got their own plane? Accommodations. As I understand it, the Eskimos scrambled around. There were 18 rooms available in the city of Winnipeg Thursday night. So I don't really know where the guys would have slept. What about the staff in the stadium? Most of them are part-timers, right? They've all got sort of real jobs. So are they going to be available the next day? What about the officials? They all have jobs. What are we going to do about them the second day? Television. Television might be committed to have another football game. Maybe they've got a soccer game on, something else. So there are lots and lots of factors that are considered. The primary consideration, player safety. Our operations manual does have some black and white on this. If the game is stopped during the first three quarters of play, the game will be continued the following day with possession, timing, location of the ball, as they were at the time of the stoppage. Player rosters are frozen 1 hour before the original kickoff, so you can't go and sign some new players or bring some new players out to top up injuries. If the game stopped in the fourth quarter, it's a little different. The teams return to play 2 10-minute halves. And again, obviously the score remains the same and the rosters are frozen. New coin toss. Each team has a single timeout available to it. Each team has one replay challenge available to it. And our 3-minute timing rule will occur in the last minute of each half. And then replay, the command center will now be looking at all plays for the last 3 minutes of the game. And that decision, that is to say, the decision on whether or not the game should be stopped, is done by the game supervisor in conjunction with the local security fellow and the referee, because the referee is standing on the field and seeing what's going on around him. And I know just how lonely, that's not the right word, fill your pants, frightening that can be at times. Having worked lots of games in Winnipeg and lots of games in really iffy weather.
Well, the three longest games in CFL history now have all been involved in Winnipeg. Two of them have come in the last two seasons. There was Milt Stegall's retirement night that got delayed, and then, of course, the one against the Edmonton Eskimos. Overall, though, a pretty solid game of officiating by them. I think probably the best was when they had the double fumble on the special teams.
Yeah.
And the Eskimos recovered it, and then Hunter fumbled it. Winnipeg recovered, but then they went to the booth. And now, the Eskimos, did they challenge?
No.
No, they didn't challenge. That's just brought up by the official on the field?
That's a standard reviewable aspect of the play.
Okay.
The fact that we've got to determine whether or not the ball has been legally recovered. So in that particular instance, I know for a fact I was on the game. Andre Proulx, the game day referee, announces that the ruling on the field was a fumble, and that twigs the guys in Toronto to take a close look at things. He said, I'm waiting for you, Toronto, let me know. And then the replay official, the video official, seeing, I think it was number 19, having stepped on the sideline, he cannot come back into the field of play and take away the ability of another player to gain possession of the football.
You know, when you talk about those reviews, I feel like when I watch the games, that they're it's quicker. Is it more seamless this year? And if so, why?
Number of reasons, Jason. First of all, we've moved. We were in a booth about twice the size of your studio with a half a dozen people in it.
Sure.
In a non-air-conditioned room in the CFL office. We've now moved into the Sky Dome into a proper studio, and so we have more room to work. The commissioner made a point of telling us that things had to speed up, and we have a hard stop now that if a decision is not made within a set period of time, we're sticking with what was called on the field.
Okay.
Let's just move on. If you have to pick nits, if you got to dig deep, chances are you're going to start making stuff up.